Just gotta make sure you don't say bad stuff about us behind your back.
Not yet. No, I'm gonna do it in front of you. I'm gonna say stuff about you right in front of you. No, it is neat because today we're gonna talk about spiritual giftings and how God actually uses those and empowers us to use those. And I was kind of joking with Mrs. Wilson, saying, you know, I don't ever want to be driving with you because you always seem to run into accidents. The reality is that God always puts her in places where she can help. And she has the ability to help people in that way. And it's just neat that God's used her in that way. And Ben's there for driving support. So, yeah. So he's gifted in the ability to support her in her role. So, guys, go ahead and open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week we saw how we come to the Lord's Supper is important. We learn to properly judge ourselves so as to not be judged by God. The people in Corinth were turning something sacred into a personal party where it was leading to drunkenness. So we always want to come with reverence when we commune with God. The goal of last week's message was really to make you stop and think about where you are. Is church just a place where you come, or does it really mean something to you? That is what Paul's always telling us, is to kind of judge ourselves. Why are we here? What's our goal? Is our heart right? And is what we are doing for his glory, or is it for our glory? It's going to segue us into this week's lesson, which is all about spiritual gifts. How does communion segue into spiritual gifts? Well, I'm glad you asked, because the reality is it's all about our heart. Our heart in communion should be focused on a vertical one that's in relationship with Jesus Christ. Our heart towards spiritual gifts should be the horizontal one, where we're using them for the betterment of those around us. So let's stand up for the reading of God's word. We're gonna look at three parts today, which is being informed, your gift or gifts, and the gift giver. So let's start in verse 1, and we will begin here. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit of utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. You may be seated. So Paul starts off by saying he doesn't want them to be misinformed about spiritual gifts. He wants them to be informed. He wants them to know what's going on with these things. So, guys, this can be a very controversial subject if you're misinformed. Like we talked about last week, proper teaching is important here, and that's what Paul's goal is. He wants them to understand what the purpose of the spiritual gifting is. What are the gifts? Who are they given to, and why are they given? Show of hands, how many here think that they have the Holy Spirit inside of them? Okay? Keep your hands up. How many of you that raised your hand think you have some sort of spiritual gift? Okay, thanks. We'll get into this a little bit later. Paul was dealing with two types here. those that knew Christ and had the Spirit, and those that did not, and they were accursing Christ and basically calling it an anathema, which is the Greek word for cursed. He was vehemently disliked by those people. How many of you guys have ever gotten into a conversation and they just start cursing God and start telling you all the things that they don't believe in God and they don't do this, they don't understand why you would believe books from ancient writers and all this nonsense, right? They don't think logically, they just think with hate towards God. And it always made me wonder what that is. Well, this is what Paul's talking about here. It's easy to tell if someone does not have Christ in them by the way that they speak of him. Today, they're going to be more polite, but they'll say things like, well, you know, I'm not really religious, or I don't really believe in God, or they'll come up with some kind of thing. They're nicer about their hatred towards him, but we have to remember that most of these people that Paul's dealing with at this time, that they worshiped false idols. They worshiped trinkets like we read about at the beginning of this book and in the book of Acts that we just finished. Paul's point is that these people of Christ came out of that, and some were kind of going back into that idea and trying to kind of straddle the fence, if you will. They now have the Spirit, and they know that because it's not possible to pray with God to God without it. That's what Paul's saying here. You can't say Jesus is Lord except in the Spirit. You can't do it. For those of you that don't know God and just said to yourself, ha, Jesus is Lord, I don't have to believe, you're a liar, Pastor Guy. He means that you say it and you actually mean it. You can't do that if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's not possible. The point that Paul's making is that people who have the Spirit claim Christ joyfully, and those that don't will openly accuse him. Some can try to straddle the fence, like I said, but the reality is, if you remember, what did Jesus say about lukewarm people? He says, spits them out. He doesn't want anything to do with them. It's either you're all in or you're all out. How's that for smacking y'all right between the eyes to start this off, huh? Because we learned last week that we're supposed to be judging ourselves. We're supposed to not play church. This isn't a game. And you can fool yourselves. You can fool all the people around you. But eventually, the reality of it comes out. You guys remember, we learned about this guy. You guys remember Simon the Sorcerer, okay? Simon the Sorcerer played church so well, he did everything. He even got baptized to show them that he was one of them, that he was with them and everything. What ended up happening was he was trying to fool the Spirit, and he was trying to purchase gifts that were given by God with money. He didn't really want Christ. He wanted what Christ offered. And what Paul's saying here is that we have to be informed. We have to check our motives. We have to check our motivation. Is it about us, or is it about who we serve? Is it about Christ, or is it about us? With all that in context, okay, I wanted to kind of throw that all in there as the beginning. Paul wants us to know why they are there. Why are spiritual gifts there? The next section of Scripture is normally taken out of context, which is why I wanted to really kind of build that beginning part up, tell you what we kind of went into last week and bring it into this week, because context is always important whenever you're exegeting Scripture. We want to know where we're at, why we're there, and what we're teaching, right? So I want to read the verses 4 through 6 again. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. So this goes back to my question, do you have spiritual gifts? There's different gifts. And what does Paul mean by that? Here's kind of a quick little list for you guys. You have like administration, so doing kind of the business type stuff of the church. Healing, which is kind of the work that somebody like Sarah would do. Discernment, tongues, we just sang in tongues. The funny thing is with tongues is it's literally just talking in a different language, but you have to have somebody else interpret. The cool part about that is we sang in tongues and then we interpreted in tongues, all in the same song. So it's all there. Prophecy, wisdom, helps, teaching. Those, you know, Josh prayed that I wouldn't be nervous. I'm not nervous, Josh. It's all right. We got it. Thank you, man. That's exactly why. It's all Josh. Those are just some. There's a bunch more gifts that are out there. But they all come from the same Spirit. We all do different types of service, but we do it all for the same God, or at least we should. And here's where the problem comes in. It's the misinterpretation of verse 6. There's different activities, but the same God that empowers them all in everyone. The name it and claim it or faith healing movement uses that verse to try and show that we have all the gifts and we have all the ability to have all those gifts. But it takes it completely out of the context of the rest of the chapter and really the whole of Scripture. Sadly, this movement is one of the fastest growing in America. And I just have enough faith, I can do any gift, right? God empowers us to have them all. Well, that's not what our Scripture says, though. He empowers them all. Do you guys see the difference there? It means God puts power behind the gifts and activities that He bestows upon us. It's God-centered empowerment. And there's a huge difference between those two. What does it mean by God empowers them all in everyone then? Every believer, so you guys that did not raise your hand, I want you to pay attention to this. Every believer, every single one, has some sort of spiritual gift. Every single one of you. You may not use it, but you have it. When you use it, it's empowered by God because God's the one that gave that gift to you. People that claim gifts they don't have are usually easily spotted because it's not empowered. Okay, what do I mean by that? So you guys have all seen this stuff. Go to the next slide. Next picture, that one right there. You guys remember that? Someone claims the gift of prophecy and they said, the world's going to end on this day. And it doesn't happen, right? And then they change their mind. Well, the world's really going to end on this day. I've really studied this book and I can tell you when the end of the world's going to happen. It's going to happen on 1992 and then Y2K. And it's just, what does that tell you? It tells you they're a false prophet. You don't just keep changing the dates on something. You're not given the gift of prophecy. That's what that means. Or you see the person standing on stage. What's that dude's name? Copeland. Ken Copeland? Yeah, I mean, when coronavirus first started, he stood up on stage and literally said, I heal America of the coronavirus. Well, that didn't work. So the thing is, when it's empowered by God, you know it is because it always works, always. The problem with the name it claiming is that they claim gifts God has not given them, so they're not empowered to do the things that they're saying that they're empowered to do. It's something that should not be controversial at all, but it's become so just because of bad interpretation, reading stuff out of context. I've been telling you guys this for weeks. We all have unique abilities and we all have different gifts. If we could claim every single gift or use every gift, wouldn't that make us all the same? That would not make us unique at all. Literally, sadly, it would make us like God, because we could just claim anything we wanted and do anything we wanted. Or worse, wouldn't that make us the ones who empower us? The answer with that is yes. And I don't ever want to think I can take something from God that He hasn't given me. Again, look back at Simon the sorcerer. He wanted the Holy Spirit and God had not given it to him. We don't ever want to try and take what's not given because it has no power and it's not genuine. I can claim all kinds of things, but I guarantee you, as soon as I start singing on this stage, you're going to know that I do not have the gift of music. You will know that. I can claim it. I can sit up here and go, I can sing. Watch this. You'll know immediately. I'm lying. I can tell you I have the gift of flight and I could jump out, I could get up on the roof and with all the faith in the world start flapping my arms. And when I hit the pavement, you're going to know I'm a liar. Right? Gravity always works. Now, could God give me that gift? Absolutely. Because you know I got a sultry, smooth tone voice. So I should be able to sing, right? Verse 7 says, we were each given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Each of us has something to offer someone else. And if we use the gift or gifts God gave us, there's power in those things that He's given us. Again, we don't have them all. They aren't ours to take. They're given. Why? Why are they given? They're given, our text says, for the common good. God gives us what He gives us to help further His ministry, not ours. The common good is the gospel. It's the gospel message. And it doesn't matter if we're using our singing or our administration or whatever it is, we're using that for His glory. We share and spread the gospel by utilizing what God has given us, and there's power in that because it's from God, not from man. And I know I'm beating this point up a little bit, but verse 7 says the gifts are given by God to us. If we can't speak in tongues, it's not because God didn't give me that gift. It's because God didn't give me that gift, not because I don't have enough faith. My faith literally has nothing to do with what God has gifted me in. If someone is not good at discerning the truth, it's not because of their lack of faith. It's because it's not a gift. It's because they don't have that gift. Healing's the same. 8 through 10 lists a few more as well, but here's the amazing thing. You may not have a gift. I don't have the gift of singing. I don't have the gift of healing. But you know what? There are people in our body that do. That's super cool. I don't have to do those things because there's people here that have that. We just need to find out who has what. Right? The gifts were given to us for the common good, and we have, think about our church. It's a small little body. We have some amazing musicians here. They have gifts to come up here and lead us in worship every single week. We're fortunate we have two little groups of musicians that they can alternate, so they get time to prepare and they get time to do stuff, and it's nice. Does that mean that that's all that they do? No. Because here's the cool thing, is some people have more than one gift. Who knew? Some have the gift of compassion. Some have administrative skills. Some have healing skills. If you don't have a certain skill, the body of Christ is full of people who have that gift that can help you. It also goes back to what we were talking about probably 2 months ago, where we're all needed as the body because we all have different things that we do. And it's important that we all do the things that we do, or you run around with, not the butt, Ben, but a whole bunch of big toes. Nobody's the butt of the church. Just, it's kind of an inside joke. But there's always something that you guys should or could or can be doing. So the question is, are you using the gifts or gift that God gave you? Some of you may not know what your giftings are. Some sitting here still may be in denial that you even have any. Ask those around you what your giftings are, because I guarantee you most people can look at you and go, well, you're really good at this, you're really good at this, and you're like awesome at this. There's a lot of tests online that you can go do, and we know this is still true, that 10% of the church does 90% of the work in the body. That's just proven. So mostly because people don't know or understand that God's empowered them to do things. Just think what the church would be like if even 25% were doing the work that God called them to do. Think about that. It's funny and sad to me that Raul has had difficulty finding people to do like the weekly responsibility type stuff, because I know that all of you fit in somewhere and you all have abilities to do something. And the last thing I'm going to say about gifts is that if your gift, we don't have these here, but you guys will understand the point. If your gift is you're great at stuffing envelopes in the back of the chairs, do that. Do what you're gifted for. It doesn't mean that God's not going to give you another gift at some point that maybe you'll do something else. The reality is that most of us don't do what we're called to do, so we don't mature in a way that God would give us more responsibility to do the stuff that we're faithful in, okay? We're capable of doing more work, so he ends up utilizing us and empowering us in other ways to do other things. That's just the reality of it. It's all to give him glory. But we tend to get prideful, and you know what? We just sit back in our chairs. We don't do anything. Just like anything in life, when you're faithful with the little stuff, he's going to give you more. He wants to empower you to the best of your ability. But that's not all. Sometimes God will try to stretch you. Like Gumby. You can be a bunch of Gumbies. He may try and do that to make you uncomfortable. He may even make you queasy like that. You guys remember my oldest daughter, Kayla, who is now in Fort Hood, Texas? You gotta say it like that because it's Texas, Fort Hood. That girl, God gifted that girl with a 4.5 octave range in her singing. And she went to voice lessons every single week. And she would go to work with me so I could take her every single week. She would never sing in front of people because she was scared. So she wasn't utilizing the gift that God gave her. She ended up going to college, and this is kind of an inside joke, but she majored in drama. Don't most teenagers? I mean, really? When you think about it. Anyway, so She took a class that was acting. She had to perform in a play. And literally, guys, it just opened her up to everything. And now when she left Fort Huachuca, her husband's in the Army, when she left Fort Huachuca, she was the worship leader at the church down there. She was playing piano, singing, she was doing everything. She was here last Christmas and did amazing. She actually did a service right before she left, right before she left here. The point is that God was training her and stretching her until she got to where she was used. She was terrified when she first did it. But God will not, listen carefully, God will not give you something you can't use. He knows you better than you know yourself. Sometimes the real issue is we just have to get past ourselves. We have to get past our fears, past, oh, I'm scared, I can't do that, I can't. You guys have seen me teach up here forever, but I did. I will never forget this. The very first time that I got asked to do announcements, I'm sitting up there like this, going, and you know, when you're on stage, if you pause for a second, it feels like forever. Like, oh, I can't do this. I forgot what I was gonna say. And then you think everybody's looking at you in your underwear. It's a weird thing. It happens. We have to get past our own fear, past our own trepidation on what God has empowered us to do it. We should not be scared for that. All right, I lied. There's one more thing about gifts. This is important. They're not salvific, meaning your gifts or your ability to do something is not directly tied in any way, shape, or form to your salvation. Okay? The big one that we hear from some churches is that speaking in tongues is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that you're saved. No, it's not. It's evidence that God gave you the gift of tongues. That's what that means. Some teach that if you're not speaking in tongues, you're not saved. Well, the Bible we just read says that He gives the gift of tongues to some, not to everyone. So how can that be evidence if it's only given to some? It's the same as literally saying, well, nobody in here claims, anybody in here have the gift of teaching? Anyone? No? No? So none of you are saved because you don't have that gift. How insane is that? It's a gift. It's given by God. God gave some of us the gift to do it. I don't have gifts that you guys have. That my salvation is not any more secured because I stand up here than you guys sitting out there. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with God empowering you to do something for Him. That's it. It's done. Finished. Last point, and I have somewhat alluded to this throughout. Who's the gift giver? It's God. The last verse of our text again says, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. God, through His Holy Spirit, knows each, and this is really super cool, guys. You have to think about this. God knows each one of us so well that He gives us individually what He knows will optimize us to be the best us we can be. Isn't that cool? We've been given gifts by the creator of the universe to be used by us for his glory. If you don't see that or feel that, you may not know yet what your gift is. Find out, because here's the thing. You're missing out on what God created you for. Nothing is more important than doing the work of God. And like I said, your gift may be simple right now, but it's typically based on where you're at right now. Whatever that gift is, do it. I'm being stretched like crazy right now, just doing this church. But I know that God's calling me to do this. And I know that he's empowering me to do it. I know that you guys have heard this before, since I was 13, I knew that I was supposed to stand up here. And call me Jonah. I jumped in a boat and I flipped the other way because, I don't want to do that. He's kept reeling me back in. Too many of us in the body of Christ wait. The 90% spectator rule is sad because people are waiting because either they don't know what their gift is or they don't feel empowered to do it. You guys, you are. And I hope that I beat that into you today. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, you have something to offer to other people for his glory. You may not like your gifting. I want to be the cool guy singing or playing. I want to do that. I'm not gifted with that. I don't shake my fist at God. I do what God called me to do. Because he gave it to us all for a purpose. And you're going to figure out what yours is. Most people have several gifts. Don't just do the ones that you like, because he gave them all to you to be used. The last words, as he wills, have meaning. We don't claim our gifts because, well, let me lay this out in layman's terms for you. Hopefully you guys can understand this deep theological concept here. You ready? He's God. We're not. Okay? So he chooses because he knows us better than we do. He knows our strengths. He knows our abilities. He knows them today. This is important. He knows our strengths and ability today. He knows what we were doing yesterday, and he knows what we're going to be doing tomorrow. And he knows what is good for us in all three of those. See, the reality is if I choose, I'm going to choose to stand up here and be like Ben and play the bass because everyone knows bass players are cool. Everyone. That's what I would do. But is that what glorifies God? No, because I would stink at it. There's a reason they call it in the Bible a joyful noise. When I do it, I may be joyful, but it's a noise. If it's his will, it's because it's about his glory and not mine. Now let me close with this. Wait, hold on. Did I offend you with that? Drummers are cool too. I did not mean to say that. Everybody that stands up here is cool. The singers are cool too. Watch that. Have the whole worship team disband and never come back. Anyway, every single one of you is special and unique. You have been hand chosen by God for something incredible, and God gave you the gifts and abilities to do it. Just think what the world would be like if we all did what God gifted us to do. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Jesus Christ is with you always. And the Holy Spirit, guys, is always there to guide you and to help you get to where you're supposed to be. We just need to listen to him. We need to do what he's given us to do. So if you need help on this, you can always talk to me. Let me know. I can get you information on where to go look for those gift searching site. Google it. It's easy. It's not hard. Whatever you do, whatever you guys do, don't leave here as the 90%. Because we are called by him and empowered by him to be better. We're called by him and empowered by him to be what he made us to be. Let's stand up. We'll pray.